Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me? Awesome. There we go. Welcome to the Vine Church. If it is your first time here, we are so thankful and excited that you are worshiping with us today. And if you're watching online, wherever you are and wherever the time is, you're watching live now or later in the week, we are thankful that you have set aside this time to join us today for worship and also for this opportunity to be able to dive into God's Word today. If I have not met you, my name is Alex Hanvey, and I get to be part of the pastoral leadership team here at The Vine, and I am excited to be able to continue our series, We Are the Church, and just unpack what God has put on my heart this week and today to be able to share with you. So if you're with me and if you are ready to dive in, give me an amen this morning. Awesome, awesome. If you have your Bibles with you, you can go ahead and get them opened and ready. If they're on your phone, go ahead and get the app open. There's going to be a lot that we're going to unpack today, a lot of flipping and a lot of verse reference. So just be ready for your sword drills this morning and our time that we have together. But today what I want to be able to talk about is, and as we're spending this time together, is the importance for us as the church, but also for us as individuals, to know, to learn, and to receive God's Word. And by God's Word, what I'm talking about is not His actual, like, vocal voice that, you know, you would hear, but rather the written Word of God that we have today. And this is also for some maybe known as the Bible or known as the Scriptures, but this is what I want us to unpack today in our time together. Because how can any of us ever know God or know who God is or know what God's plan or will is for our life if we don't read His Word that He prepared for us and that He allows us to be able to see and to experience and to learn and understand exactly who He is? We've been going through the book of Acts in this series, and today we're going to look just briefly as our starting point for today's message. But in Acts chapter 8, we come across Philip, who was one of Jesus's disciples, and he's going around, and in chapter 8, verse 12, it actually says that he is preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And so he's going around and he is teaching and preaching the word of God. Now there will be some who may say at the time of this, there was no Bible. Because what they think is what I have right here, which is a completed Old Testament and New Testament. At the time, you would be correct. This particular edition of the Bible would not have been around, but there would have been a Bible. There was a Word of God, and it was called the Scriptures. And if you don't believe me, a little bit later in Acts chapter 8, Philip comes across the Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch is reading through Isaiah, but he doesn't quite understand it. So the Lord leads Philip to this eunuch, so that he can help him to understand what the Word of God says. So the Word of God is important for us to know, but there is also a huge importance for those who are willing to teach and to unpack the Word of God so that we can learn, know, and understand it. So if you don't believe just from simply that, or maybe from your own life, that there is great importance on knowing the Word of God and knowing God, I want you to turn to Hosea. And this is in the Old Testament, chapter 4, verse 6. And this is what it says. My people, this is God talking about His chosen people, Israel. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Since you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. So do you now see and believe the importance of knowing God's word. Because knowledge in this verse is not just talking about being a smart person with a lot of PhDs or being able to say that you are the smartest person when it comes to science, mathematics, history, or some other realm of understanding. But the knowledge here is of God and His Word. And we can find this and understand this from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. I'm just going to read this for you. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You see, you cannot have knowledge that matters without the fear of the Lord. And it's not being afraid or scared, but rather it's being in awe and having a reverence and a respect for who God is. But how can you respect God if you don't know God? And how can you know God if you don't know His Word, if you don't read it? So it's not about this worldly knowledge, but it's the knowledge of God. And the lack of that knowledge of who God is and what His Word says is like walking around with the lights off, pitch black in the dark, stubbing your toe, hitting your knee every 5 seconds, and being frustrated because you can't see. You see, the knowledge of God and His Word is right here for us. God put it together for us so that we would know who He is. And there's a phrase that we all have probably heard and we all know, is that those who refuse to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. You see, if you don't learn from the mistakes of your own past or learn from the mistakes of people who have gone before us, if you don't care and take into consideration what they've gone through and learn from them, then you will just repeat the same mistakes that they have. And so I'm thankful for the Word of God, not just for the New Testament that we have, but also for the Old Testament, so that we can look back at the people of Israel, at God's chosen people, and we can see not only the things that they did well, but we can see the mistakes that they made. We can see where they missed the mark. And so today in our time together, we're going to look at four areas that the people of Israel were dropping the ball when it came to knowing God, to loving God, to serving God, and to preaching and teaching His Word. And we don't do this to point fingers and say, look how bad they are, I'm glad I'm so much better, but we do this so that we don't make those same mistakes that they did. And so the first area comes under the priest who neglected teaching the Word of God. And so for us today, in most churches within America, you would consider this the pastors. Those who are preaching, those who are teaching, those who are shepherding, those who are unpacking the Word of God. But for the people of Israel, there was a time when God had people and priests who were dedicated to preaching and teaching His Word. But eventually they stopped. Eventually they started to preach and teach things other than the Word of God, because it sounded nice or it was easy on the ears. But let's go to Malachi chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 5 through 9. And this, again, is God speaking of His people. "My covenant with him was one of life and peace," talking about with Levi, who the Levitical priests were descended from. And he goes on and he says, "I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and was in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and in justice, and he turned many back from wrongdoing." This is when we preach the Word of God, when we learn from the Word of God, that is what happens. We turn from the wrong ways that we used to follow. But it goes on and it says, "For this, lips of a priest should maintain knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of armies. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have ruined the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of armies. So I also have made you despised and of low reputation in the view of all the people, since you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction." So what's happening here for the people of Israel is the priests have no longer begun to follow or continue to follow God with diligence. They have not been teaching the word of God, but rather they have been teaching worldly knowledge. And at this time, they have been started to teach things that are outside of God's law and God's plan and God's will for his people. They started to do things and teach things that made other people happy. But it might come to us all as a surprise that when we step into the church, into the house of God, it is not to make us happy. When Pastor T is up here and he is preaching Sunday after Sunday, it's not so that you say it sounds good or that you walk away feeling good because you are doing good, but rather it is to preach and teach the word of God so that it turns us from the wrong ways that we may be living to the loving and caring and merciful and gracious God that was willing to give his son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to lay down his life for us. That's why we come to church, is to be reminded how bad and how wicked we truly are on our own without God in our lives, and to highlight just how good he is. But 2 Chronicles 15, verse 3, highlights again what it was like for the people in Israel, because it says, for many days Israel was without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without the law. You see, the people of Israel, as we've gone through series unpacking this in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were oppressed. They were beaten down, they were crushed and led astray because the priests, who were supposed to be teaching the knowledge and the word of God, were not doing so. And unfortunately, if we are honest, we can see this right here in churches all around the world, but especially right here in America today. Because you have more churches who are preaching what people want to hear, what sounds good, and they're using secondary and tertiary sources apart from Scripture to prepare their message and to bring the word. And so people are drifting farther and farther away from the word and the knowledge of God. That happened in Israel, and we see that today as well. And Paul understood this. The Apostle Paul, one of the most famous New Testament authors who wrote most of the New Testament, he understood this, and he was writing to Timothy. And this is what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I solemnly exhort you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less, preach the word. Because this right here is what changes lives. Nothing else, apart from God and his word. And it goes on, and he says, be ready in season and out of season. This is what the word of God is used for. Correct, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come, and this is what we see today, not saying that this was specifically about our time, but we have seen this over time, and we see it in our church today. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Let me tell you, just because you have 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people coming to a church on Sunday, it does not mean that the word of God is being preached. The size of the crowd doesn't matter. And then Paul goes on and he says, but as for you, use self-restraint in all things. Endure hardship, because it won't be easy. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Share the word of God. Preach the word of God. Teach the word of God. So the second area after the priest that the people of Israel were failing is that parents neglected teaching the word of God to their children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 says this. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. But it doesn't stop there. And you shall repeat them diligently, not to yourself, but to your sons, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Now, for parents, this is really a gut check and a reality check, because are we actually sharing the Word of God and teaching our children? Because what happens a lot of times in church today is parents will bring their children, especially their young ones. They'll drop them off in children's church or children's ministry on Sunday. And then outside of that hour, there's no discipleship. There's no instruction. There's no sharing of the Word of God Monday through Saturday. And the parents, unfortunately, expect the church to be the primary source for their children to learn about who God is, who Christ is, and what Jesus has done for us to disciple, not discipline, but to disciple their children. The church is not meant to be the primary source, but is a secondary source, a reinforcement of what we as parents should already know from our pastors teaching us, and then what we are sharing and teaching and repeating to our children. But you see, for the people of Israel, this was not happening. They were not teaching their children who God was. And so another generation that was raising up was walking further and further away from the knowledge and the Word of God. And if we're not careful, this will happen to us in our own homes and in our own house. If we are not helping our children to learn and understand and know who God is, Monday through Saturday. And again, Paul understands this and he reminds us as parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, Paul writes and he says, "Father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The instruction, the teaching of who God is and what His Word reveals about Him. So right here we see two huge areas where the priests are not teaching the people and the parents that have children are not teaching their children. And there are generations after generations who are not learning about God. The third area where the people of Israel were failing and where they failed over time were that the kings of Israel were not following the Word of God. They neglected to listen to anyone or anything that did not please them. And we can see this in 1 Kings as we turn here really quick. Go to 1 Kings chapter 22. And there's a great example of this here. Starting at verse 2, it says this. "In the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel." Remember, the nation and the people of Israel had split into two kingdoms, Judah and Israel at this time. And then in verse 3 it says, "Now the king of Israel said to his servants, 'Are you aware that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us? Yet we are hesitant to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram.' So he said to Jehoshaphat, 'Will you go to battle with me at Ramoth Gilead?' And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'Consider me yours, my people yours, and my horses yours.'" So he's ready to go to battle with the king. And then in verse 5, it says, "However, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'Please request the word of the Lord first.' So the king of Israel assembled the prophets, about 400 men, and said to them, 'Should I go to battle against Ramoth Gilead, or should I refrain?'" Now, 400 prophets. He is called to ask this question because Jehoshaphat asked to inquire from the Lord. L-O-R-D, from Yahweh, from God. And so the king of Israel, God's chosen people, he calls 400 prophets. And this is what they say. Go up, for the Lord will hand it over to the king. That sounds great, right? You got 400 prophets who just said, yeah, go take it. The Lord will give it to you. But verse 7, but Jehoshaphat said, is there no longer a prophet of the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital, that we may inquire of him? You see, the king of Israel had 400 prophets who would say what he wanted to hear, not what God was actually telling them to say. You see, he only wanted to hear the pleasing things about himself. Because in verse 8, it says, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he does not prophesy anything good regarding me, but only bad. You see, the king of Israel, those who were in charge, the leaders, didn't want to hear what God had to say. They only wanted to hear what made them happy, what was pleasing to them, and what sounded good to them. We can definitely say that we relate to this in our nation and in our country, because there are so many people in leadership roles, not only at a large scale across this nation, but in various jobs, businesses, and organizations that may say they're a Christian. They may say they believe in these things, but when it comes to what God actually tells them, they only want to listen to what's good for them, not what God has instructed them to truly do. And so when this happens, not only are the people that the priests are teaching, they're not following the Lord because they're not learning and being instructed of the Lord, so they're going their own ways, but now the entire nation is walking away from God to do whatever they want to do whatever makes them happy. So we see the importance of teaching, preaching, receiving and believing the word of God. And the fourth and final area where the people of Israel were dropping the ball is that the people began to embrace the sinful culture around them. And we talked about this several series back when we were going through the book of Amos. And we talked about how God had finally said, the time of judgment has come. I have tried to be patient with you. I have tried to allow you the opportunity to turn and repent. But the people of Israel, because they were not being taught God's way and from his word, they began to adopt the cultures that were around them from the nations that did not know God, that did not care about God, that did not follow or serve God. I think we can say we can kind of see that in the nation that we live in today as well. You see, as we walk further away from God, we become desensitized to the things that are opposing to God. And then we become a little rough and hard towards the things that God wants for us. The less time we spend in his word, the harder it is to unpack his word, to believe his word, to receive his word. The harder our hearts become, the more closed our ears come to those who are preaching and teaching the word of God. So how do we avoid this? How can we walk past this and not be caught in the same traps, in the same pitfalls, doing the same things that the people of Israel did? So if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul again is writing and he is warning against this and teaching against this. And in verse 14, this is what he writes, and he says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. If anyone ever tells you or preaches or teaches that the Word of God is not true, that it cannot be trusted, and that it could have errors, I can guarantee you that person is speaking falsely, cannot be trusted, and what they say is in error. Because the Word of God is our final authority when it comes to things that we are to believe. Because I can stand up here all day, I can preach and teach for an hour without ever opening the Word of God. And you can choose, well, that sounds right, that sounds good, but never take for granted what I say, what Pastor T says, what anyone ever says about God without comparing it and holding it up against the Word of God itself. And if you don't know the Word of God, if you're not studying the Word of God, if you're not reading the Word of God, how can you ever do that? How can we ever know what is falsely being preached and teached? And in verse 16, Paul says, all Scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. Apart from the Word of God, there is no way we can be obedient to what God has called us to. Because if anyone ever tells you, and I've heard this, I've heard a very prominent and well-known pastor say that the Bible didn't exist until the 4th century. And while there is a very small morsel of truth in what he is saying, because he is saying that this Bible did not exist until the 4th century, when they finally made a decision on what would be in the Old Testament and what would be part of the New Testament and putting them together as one collective book. The Word of God, the Scriptures, as Paul just pointed out, is inspired by God for us to learn, for us to be corrected. That's hard. Nobody likes to be corrected because that means you're doing something wrong or something that you should not have. And so it's hard for us, but the Word of God does that for us so that it also encourages us and it helps us to be obedient, to know exactly what God's plan is for our lives. Every one of us, and everyone who may be watching online, and everyone that is on this earth, you have a right to your own opinion. But there is only one truth, and that truth is found in God's Word. And there is only one man who has ever been called the truth, and that is Jesus Christ. And as Paul just referred and just let us know, that it is through the Scriptures, the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. And that salvation is not in your own effort. That salvation is not by how much of this book you read. That salvation is through faith in one man, and that is Jesus Christ. And so as you are listening today, whether you are in the house or if you're watching online, and you've understood, and maybe you're starting to think, well, you know, I don't spend enough time in the Word of God. I don't read my Bible that much. Or I just read it occasionally here and there if I'm bored or if I need some advice. But I encourage you to read this daily. You don't have to read it for hours at a time, but just open it up and let God speak to you through His Word. Because that's why we have it, so that we can know exactly what He has for us and what He wants for us. And maybe you're listening and you realize, you know, I've never really looked at Jesus as a Savior, a Messiah, someone that I could put my faith and my trust in. I just thought He was a good person. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus did not just live a perfect life, but He died your death, my death, on the cross, for the punishment and payment of our sins. You and I cannot live a perfect life. We have sinned and made mistakes already this morning. But Jesus didn't. And He went to the cross to pay our penalty. And in that, He also rose and defeated both sin and death as he conquered the grave. And so in our own effort and strength, we will never be able to find salvation. In our own wisdom and knowledge, we will never come to the realization of where our salvation is found. It is through the preaching and the teaching and the revelation that comes from the Word of God. So I pray for each and every one of us who are here in this house and those watching online, that our ears are open to hear the truth, that our eyes are open to see the way, and our hearts are open to receive the life that is found only in Christ Jesus. And so if you are listening and you know, hey, I have never surrendered to Jesus, I have never committed to follow him as my Lord and Savior, but you feel a pull, a tug on your heart right now to do so, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray it with me, and we'll pray it all together out loud for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time. But I want you to know that there is no magic, there's nothing special about these words, but rather it is the faith that has been planted in your heart by the grace of God that you know, believe, and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would pray this with me, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent of my sins. I turn from my way to follow you. You lived the perfect life I couldn't. You died the death I deserved. You rose in victory over sin and death. Teach me to follow you the rest of my life, the best way that I know how. And with every head bowed and eyes still closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, fully knowing and believing that you are surrendering your life to Jesus to follow him and to place your faith in who he is, in him alone, not your own effort, not your own works. When I count to three, if you're in the house, I want you to raise your hand up. If you're watching online, leave a comment, use the raised hand emoji, or send us an email at hello@thevine.tv. Let us know that you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and surrendered your life to him so that we can help you, we can encourage you, and we can walk and celebrate with you through this step of faith. One, two, three. If you're in the house, raise your hand. If you're watching online, leave us a comment, send us an email, because we want to celebrate with you and help you to understand what it means to follow Jesus. Lord, I thank you so much for each and every person who is here today, those who are online watching with us, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you allow us to know the importance of your word, to know what it means to truly follow you and to know you. God, help us each and every day to seek you and to know and receive your word as it is taught to us, Lord. I just pray for your blessing in this time that we have together, and pray that you will be glorified as we leave this place together today, Lord, that we can be a light that points others to you. May our hope and our salvation be secured not in the things of this world or in our efforts, but in you and you alone. We thank you, we love you, and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in the house, go ahead and stand with us as we worship together.
I've been told to live my own truth, do whatever makes me feel good, get rid of boundaries, the rules are stifling, chase good feelings. that soon will be gone. But I found myself more lost than ever, enslaved and bound to my desires. And that's not freedom. Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life might be secure. Everything I do, done so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your change coming, more of you and less of me. Transformation by your Spirit in me. Now that I know you, I know there's no one else for me. You're the one that my soul loves. Make me more like Jesus, every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life might be secure. Everything I do, done so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your. God, praise be to God, you've saved me from myself. Praise be to God, praise be to God, a new life I've been dealt. I'll never look back, no, I can't go back, I'm yours. I'll never look back, no, I can't go back, I'm yours. Praise be to God, praise be to God. You saved me from myself. Praise be to God, praise be to God. A new life I've been dealt. I'll never look back, no, I can't go back, I'm yours. I'll never look back, no, I can't go back, I'm yours. Praise be to God, praise be to God. You saved me from myself. Praise be to God, praise be to God, a new life I've been dealt. I'll never look back, no, I can't go back, I'm yours. I'll never look back, no, I can't go back, I'm yours. Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus, every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life might be secure. Everything I do, done so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your. Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus, every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, my new life might be secure. Everything I do, done so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your image. Make me more like you, Jesus.
For those who have joined us in person today, or if you've watched online, thank you so much for being here with us and allowing us to be able to come together in the presence of our God.
who deserves all glory, all honor, all praise, all worship, everything that we can bring to him, even if it is nothing but ourselves and nothing but us to simply and humbly come and kneel before him. Say, thank you. Thank you for everything that you have done for me. Thank you for everything that you have revealed to me through your word. So I pray that each and every one of us, as we leave today, that we will see God, we will know God, and we will experience God in every aspect of our lives. But I also pray that we will make time to unpack his word, to dive into his word, to learn, to know, and to receive his word, so that we learn and we know and we receive who God truly is. We thank you. We love you. Have a great week. And we can't wait to see you again next Sunday. God bless.